Thank you for standing by, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Flight Centre Travel Group trading update. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Today's presentation will be followed with a question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Please also note today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host speaker, Mr. Haydn Long. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning or good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. It's not actually a presentation today. We just thought given the time of year and everyone's fairly busy, we just thought we'd go straight into a Q&A. I have Flano here with me. Skroo will be joining me. Hopefully Skroo will be joining us a little bit later. And we also have Rob Plint, our global corporate leader, here with us today. So I'll just hand over to Flano for a quick overview before we go to Q&A.
Thanks, Haydn. So obviously we've taken the opportunity to update the market as to our current view on how trading is and the impact on the half and full year earnings expectations. Probably fair to say that when we started the year, we had made certain assumptions when we provided guidance, and those assumptions, particularly around the Australian market, assumed that a lot of the consumer confidence that we had seen dissipate from about April, May time of 2014 would stay in place for the first 6 months of this year. And then we were expecting that a lot of the concerns that people had around the budget impact on them personally would be resolved by December, and we would see pent-up demand flow through into that second 6 months, particularly in that fourth quarter, which was particularly weak last year. So some of those assumptions have come to fruition. Certainly the first 6 months this year has been quite tough. But unfortunately, we think now that the expectation that consumer confidence will recover is less likely to occur because of some of the concerns around the budget still being not resolved. So we have actually started to see that flow through into our forecast for the next few months. So we thought it was appropriate to revisit guidance and give the market the best understanding of how we're seeing things at the moment. A few things to highlight. We, since April, have seen a leisure market in Australia, which is effectively flatlined. And as a consequence of that, we have seen various competitors around the country trying to secure bookings through some price reduction. So we've had to reduce some of our margin accordingly, which is not something that we'd necessarily factored into our original guidance. So even though we're up a couple of percent TTV-wise in the Australian leisure business, our margin or our revenue is flat for the first 5 months of this year. So that's one thing to highlight. Of course, what we've continued to do, as we've always indicated, is that the network would continue to grow. So we've continued to increase staff numbers and shop numbers, both around the 6% mark. So we have actually seen our costs line increase at a time when commissions have remained reasonably flat. So that's obviously having a negative impact on the overall leisure result in Australia, and it's a large part of the reason for our reduction in earning expectations, both for the first half and for the full year. I'm sure people have various questions, so we'll get to that shortly, but just a couple of other highlights to make. The corporate business of Australia is going okay. Again, TTV is not growing at a huge rate. Business confidence is also at a pretty low level. And unfortunately, business activity is reflecting that as well. Though we haven't seen too much contraction in the margin, and costs have remained pretty consistent. So that part of the business is pretty flat with the prior year. What is worth highlighting is the challenges for us at the moment are pretty much limited to the Australian marketplace. Outside Australia, the overseas businesses are performing very well, in particular the US. Started the first 6 months, or the first 5 months off very well, largely driven by the corporate business, which reflects our ongoing growth in existing markets, continuing expansion into new markets, and I think also the macro environment in that country being more positive and business activity picking up there as well. So while there will be a small loss in the first 6 months, for the USA, we expect both the leisure business and the corporate business to do particularly well in the second half, which will result in a record profit for that business for the full year. UK also continues to go quite well. We've just been over there recently and very impressed with where that business is going. And then around the other countries, generally pretty positive, with the exception of Canada, where we still have some challenges. So that gives you a bit of an overview. More than happy to take any questions that people might have. Probably just to reiterate, this is our best view at this point in time. I think most people that follow us understand that we have very little visibility around our revenue, generally nowhere between more than 4 to 6 weeks. And as a consequence, there are a number of assumptions built into this guidance. But we think it's important that we share with the market what that thinking is and keeping you well informed. So I'll hand back to Hayden.
Yeah, Kelly, I'm ready for Q&A. Guys, everyone's travelling at the moment, obviously, so the best time to ask the questions will be now. If you don't get to you, we will try and come back to you later today, but please feel free to ask your questions now.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you do have a question at this time, press *1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from the line of Tom Kairath from Morgan Stanley. Go ahead, please.
Oh, g'day, guys. Can you just run through why the commission rates have come down? Is that just the airlines kind of, I guess, talking a bit tougher now with, less capacity growth in the market kind of impacting the commission rates?
No, actually, Tom, it's not that at all. Actually, if anything, we're very, very grateful for the ongoing support of our supply network, which remains very healthy. Now, what happens in our business, in the leisure business in particular, is that we give pricing discretion to the consultants, and those consultants can choose, if they so desire, to discount particular product or something along those lines if they think it's necessary to either meet a competitor or to ensure that person doesn't walk away without some form of commitment. So the interesting thing to note is that inquiry levels within the business at the moment remain quite strong, which is a very positive sign. So it means people are very interested in purchasing, but they still lack that confidence to make that final commitment just because of some of the uncertainty going around at the moment. So some of our consultants will take the decision to ensure that person doesn't walk away with a compelling offer, and that might just mean that they take a little bit less commission than what they otherwise might have accepted.
And so where's that extra competition coming from? Like, what's the reason for them having to discount then to
So basically what I mentioned before is we look at the market pretty closely, and as I've said, since April, the market is very, very flat. So when you've got a flat market, there's very little opportunity to grow your business unless you're physically growing it like we are, but then that has to be taken from someone else. Or you try to stimulate some market share change, and some competitors might choose to reduce their pricing to get that. So keep in mind, for example, a large number of our competitors in Australia are franchise operations. They completely have pricing discretion as well. So sometimes we might be reacting to that from market to market. Other times we might just want to make sure that the customer doesn't walk out the door without committing, and we take that decision on ourselves.
And just the last question I've got is, the second half, it looks like you're shooting for about up 3% PBT versus down 5% in the first half. What kind of gives you the confidence that things will, I guess, rebound a bit versus the trajectory for the first 5 months?
Look, a few things. Firstly, we are comping to a very weak fourth quarter. So we would hope that by the time we get there that we've probably been able to adjust a couple of things. So specifically in relation to the margin that we were just discussing before, we are in the process of educating our consultants that you don't necessarily have to give away margin to secure a booking, and there's other ways you can do that. So we are trying to find ways to make sure that they understand all options available to them in that discussion. So we'd like to think that there might be some margin improvement from what we've seen over the last couple of months. We're also looking at some investments we've made in the business over the last couple of years to determine whether we're getting the necessary return on that. So already there's been a part of the business where we've decided that it's probably not appropriate to continue with it, and we've managed to reallocate some costs away from the business. So there's a few things we're doing, both educating our consultants on the front line, but also some business re-engineering to probably ensure our cost base is more reflective of the current environment.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Michael Simotas from Deutsche Bank. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Just a question on your employee salary rates. Obviously, there is a variable component. Can you just talk about how much of a dampener that may have been and whether it's doing what it should be doing or whether that's been more than offset by the extra cost that you've put in?
Hi, Michael. Yeah, look, it definitely has come into play. There's no question about that. So I mentioned before that our staff numbers are up about 6%. Our personnel costs aren't up anywhere near that, so as far as year-on-year increase. So the variable component of that has come into play, but there's probably two factors just to keep in mind. One is that we did highlight at the beginning of the year our desire to increase the remuneration for some of our youngest consultants, so that is a bit of a cost that's addition to last year. And the second thing is this ongoing commitment to growing the business. And when you're growing the business, but not necessarily seeing a corresponding increase in commissions, that will have a short-term impact on the cost line. So you're absolutely right. The variable component has softened some of that that growth, but those other factors obviously apply.
Okay, and I think at the time you said that extra investment in staff costs was about 10 to 12 million. Has it still played out that way?
Yeah, it has. It has. So okay. That's working exactly as we thought.
All right, and then just last one from me. I mean, you've had some discussion around the FX impact on demand or lack of impact so far, but what have you guys assumed for FX in the second half, given it has a fairly meaningful impact on the translation of earnings?
Look, we at the moment have assumed not too much different from what's out there today. You know, obviously it's fluctuated between, you know, 83 to 85 cents the last few months. So we're kind of expecting it to remain that level. I mean, clearly it could drop to 75 cents. You know, if that happens, we can't control that. If that was to be the case, then we think that has a positive impact on particularly the US earnings, which are much stronger in the second 6 months and generally the overseas businesses as well. But we haven't factored that into our guidance at this point in time.
Okay, so your guidance is predicated on about spot.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Amina Somino from JP Morgan. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Flano. I'm just wondering if you could give more sort of information on the movements in the income margin. I'm guessing if you've got revenue flat and TTV growing about 2%, it's probably fallen to about 12.8%. And just kind of what you're expecting for the full year, given it was probably higher last year than it has been.
Yeah. So what we're expecting at a group level, Arms, is that it will be about 30 basis points down. And as I mentioned before, that's largely driven, well, actually entirely driven by commission decline, not from overrides or any of those other backer elements. Obviously, that will be down a little bit more in the Australian business, but at a group level, it'll be around down about 30 basis points.
Okay, and so are they moving down, I mean, in other regions as well?
No. In some regions it's probably going up slightly, but Australia's the biggest area.
Okay. And then just on customer inquiries, you said they've been pretty healthy. Are they stronger than last year but conversion is down, or are they, you know, can you just give us some more colour around the level of inquiries?
Yeah. Now, the inquiry's down a little bit, and I would really emphasise that a little bit. So from our perspective, it's pretty consistent with the prior year. It's not down enough to be meaningful. But yes, certainly conversion is lower at the moment. And we've experienced that basically since April. And it unfortunately just does go back to this environment at the moment where consumers are concerned about their own economic circumstances. And look, I think the thing to keep in mind is that obviously we've seen a record travel industry over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, and we're still comping against that record level, but we're just not seeing the growth that we've seen in the last couple of years for those reasons. So people are still purchasing travel and they're still purchasing a lot of it. We're just not getting that big growth that we've been seeing for the last few years.
Okay, and just a couple more questions from me. Other than Australia, and I guess Canada, are there any countries or other countries you're not expecting to deliver growth in earnings on last year?
No, I think most people will be above. Just to maybe call out New Zealand started the year off quite well. In the last couple of months, it has been a little bit softer. But generally speaking, no, most countries will either be consistent with last year or up. Australia is is obviously the biggest challenge, and as I mentioned before, Canada is still a bit of a challenge as well.
Okay, and then have you seen much of an increase in sales and marketing over and above the sort of staff levels that you're increasing by?
Yeah, no, probably just worth highlighting. So we've been flagging for some time that our sales and marketing should be around 1.1% of TTV. As at the end of November, that's exactly where it was. But compared to November year-to-date last year, it was only 1%. So there's a slight increase in sales and marketing in the first 5 months of this year. But we haven't gone outside our range, and that range will probably still be the case for the full year. That's certainly our assumption. But compared to the prior year five-month period, we hadn't spent as much, and we started to ramp it up towards the second half of last year. So in line with your expectations, but just to give you that subtle difference when you compare the first 5 months.
Okay, great. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Peter Drew from Hunter Green. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Flano. Hi, Hayden. Just a couple of questions. Could you clarify what the income margin in the first half for Australia is going to be? Because I just, I'm not sure how it gets to be much below 12.8.
Yeah, Pete, look, I can't at the moment, mate, because unfortunately, when we put together the numbers that you're familiar with, there's a number of adjustments that we have to make for statutory purposes. So I just need, I can't give you the exact number you're looking for at the moment, so you're just going to have to hold off until the half year, if that's okay.
Yep, okay. And just in terms of, can you sort of give us a bit of a bit more detail about the actual, what the OPEX cost growth was in Australia in the first half, and I guess based on what you're seeing in terms of, you know, the TTV, the outlook for TTV growth, what should we be expecting in the second half? I guess excluding the increase in the wages cost for novice consultants.
Yeah. So at the moment, look, we're probably expecting TTV to increase slightly for the second 6 months in the Australian leisure business. We're expecting OPEX to basically, well, we're expecting OPEX to basically stabilise from what we've seen over the first few months. I mentioned before that we are doing a number of cost initiatives at the moment, and we are expecting a slight improvement in that gross margin as well. So, you know, again, I don't necessarily want to give you exact numbers, mate, because I think it's a bit premature and you have to wait for the half year on that. But we are expecting some stabilisation in both those areas.
Okay. And when you say stabilisation, you just mean more normalised rates of growth, or do you mean flat cost base?
More flat cost base, mate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then, you know, just in terms of, I guess, improving that TTV margin, what is the sort of run rate? I mean, I understand you've made some changes recently to try and, stabilise that discounting behaviour. Just what sort of run rate do you go into the second half with?
In what way, Peter?
In the TTV margin, like the income margin. Should we be thinking something above 13% in the second half?
Yeah, no, you should be thinking about that, yeah.
Yep, okay. And just in terms of the range of the PBT guidance, is that all contingent around Australia?
Yes, largely. Yeah, it is. Obviously, you know, we flagged, we expect the UK to have a cracking year. The US to have a cracking year. We expect the UK to do well as well. We haven't factored in any more translation improvement, as we spoke about before. So it really does come down to Australia. That is the largest swing factor for this year's earnings this year.
Yep. Okay. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Grant Saladeri from Credit Suisse. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Andrew, Hayden. So if just clarify earlier comment, are you projecting TTV growth in the second half in Australia? And is that materially different from the 2% that you've indicated achieved first half today?
Yeah, look, we're expecting it's certainly to remain at that level, but obviously we'd like to see some improvement on that grant. So, there is some assumption that will improve.
Okay. And in terms of the announcement today, what sort of triggered the timing to come out and change the guidance today rather than waiting for some trading through into January and February?
A couple of things, mate. Up until the end of October, things were tracking along in line with expectations. We were flat. November was tougher. And unfortunately, the factors that drove November, we expected to continue into December. December is always a very tough month to actually call because of Christmas, and it's very hard to understand exactly what level of trading there will be post that Christmas break. We just felt that the market was expecting us to come in flat for the year. We just didn't think we were going to be able to pull that back in the month of December. There's a good argument for the fact that maybe we could have waited to January, but we take our obligation to inform the market as to what our thinking is if it's going to be materially different, and we've exercised that. So it's really just the expectation that that we were unlikely to meet that flat expectation for the first 6 months.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the comments.
Thanks, Grant.
Thank you. Your next question is from the line of Andrew McLennan from CBA. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, guys. Just one question remaining from me that hasn't already been asked. Could you give us just a bit of a guide in terms of how much of this downgrade was due to that margin compression from competitive aspects versus the costs?
Look, as I mentioned before, the margin has contracted, but TTV is only up 2% in the Australian leisure business. Revenue is flat. So that obviously hasn't helped, but no, the cost element's been a large component this year. We could decide today to stop growing the network, but we think that would not be setting the business up for the longer term. Again, just to put it into perspective, we're still transacting at levels that 12 months ago would have been considered to be a record level. So there's still plenty of travel being sold out there. It's just not growing at that same rate we've seen previously. For us to stop growing the network right now would indicate that we just have more concerns about the long-term future where the business is going, and we don't. I'd be much more, I think we've flagged this before, I'd be much more concerned if we were losing significant market share and the market was growing, that would indicate a structural challenge. But for us, we don't see any of those indicators. This is us just being caught up in a very difficult economic scenario in Australia at the moment, and we have to wade our way through it. But we've seen these times before, and we're continuing with our long term plan, which has served us well, and we expect it to continue.
Guys, Screw's actually in here, so if anyone's got any questions for him, he's been here for 20 minutes and he's just twiddling his thumb, so if anyone can ask him a question directly, it'd be appreciated.
I might just follow on then in that case, guys, just in relation, you obviously clarified in terms of your view around whether currency is making an impact on demand with that example in the US. But obviously that's just one market that travellers will go to. What are you seeing in the other markets in terms of demand? I mean, obviously if it is weak overall, there must be a pullback in consumption or travel activity in those other areas beyond the US.
Yeah, Asia seems to have been struggling for a little while. Even pre the Malaysia Airlines tragedies of last year, Asia seemed to be a little bit off for whatever reason. We had some unrest in Thailand late last year, which is pretty normal. But this time, it did seem to have a bit of an impact on visitor numbers to Thailand. I think the local tourism bodies and hotel groups reported a bit of a downturn, which is unexpected because normally people, if they're traveling to Phuket, as a lot of people who are going to Thailand are, they don't seem to be too worried about that sort of thing. But, parts of Asia seem to have been a little bit off. Screw might be able to give you some more colour on UK, Europe, but I had a feeling that's been, a little bit soft. But US looks good. Domestic's been pretty flat as far as I can see. So, there's no evidence of a shift from, international back to domestic. Domestic tickets are the same percentage of our business as they were 12 months ago. Screw, any thoughts on UK, Europe?
The States has been strong, and there's no obvious evidence that the dollar weakness is having any impact there. Europe's Europe in the early bird season in most areas is not looking too bad. And domestically, I think we are up domestically a bit in leisure, and which is surprising. I think we're up 8% or something in domestic leisure in Australia at the moment. But most of the areas look pretty good. I mean, it's just the demand's still quite strong, but it's just it's not as strong as we'd like. It's not as strong as it was 12 months ago. So things like this just come things just come off a little bit.
Do you think the stronger economic environment within the US has maybe played into the fact that the US travel is a little bit stronger?
Yeah, I think a lot of this is influenced by the airfares and the numbers of airlines flying from Australia to the US. And we've got a pretty good range of carriers there now, Australians do like travelling to the States, and it's a pretty much a year-round exercise these days. So I think the US being economy recovering is one thing, but I think it's just general sentiment in Australia is people are travelling to the States. So.
Okay, and look, I just wanted to mention something in relation to Asia from sort of some of the behaviour and analysis we've done on the credit card. The sort of the low income customers, are a lot more price sensitive, and they tend to tend to travel on the cheaper tickets. Do you get a sense that what you're seeing in Asia is the more price sensitive customer starting to react to the relative pricing?
Look, I think one of the things that has happened quite a lot over the last couple of years in Australia is the low cost carriers, particularly into Southeast Asia, particularly Bali, Phuket, have grown a significant amount, and that obviously plays into the hands of the lower income people, and it is fantastic value for people, and I think that's one of the reasons in some cases we haven't quite kept up with the advent of the low cost over the last 12 to 24 months. So we see some good opportunities there to get more into selling the low cost carriers, which we've traditionally haven't really pushed. We've sold them a reasonable amount. So I think there's plenty of opportunity there. With the great value that people are getting, particularly Bali. And some other parts of Southeast Asia there's quite a few low cost flying into it now, particularly places like Perth.
Yep. Okay. No, thanks very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sam Dobson from Macquarie. Go ahead, please.
Oh, morning, guys. Just a couple of questions from me. So, just in terms of Qantas. I mean, Qantas have reported that their international yields have been up for the last 8 months. Have you seen a shift geographically, and it probably follows on from the last question, due to the lower Aussie dollar, have you seen a shift geographically that means that you're not capturing that yield growth, or is it simply that commission growth has eroded that that pricing increase?
Generally, yields are up. There might be a bit of a difference there in timing, because we recognise when the customer pays us, and the airline will recognise the customer's revenue when they actually travel. So there'll be a bit of a lag factor there, but yields generally would be up. Where they're down is places like Asia, where Qantas is probably not flying to a lot of the destinations that Skroo's mentioning. They tend to be more low-cost carrier package vacation destinations. If people switch to those destinations, that's probably good for us, because we tend to do pretty well in those sort of destinations, and we tend to sell the whole package rather than just the flight. So if a customer's going to Fiji, for example, and spending $3,000 on a holiday, we would probably earn more than if the customer's travelling to LA and spending perhaps $1,500 on an airfare and then travelling independently, and we might not get the accommodation booking. So there is a bit of a difference, Sam, between us and the airlines in terms of when we recognise the revenue too.
Sure. But at the moment, are you seeing any of that? Any of that switching taking place?
No, not really. It doesn't look like you know, I had a look at this before I came on here. It doesn't look like there's been any sort of significant switch away from particular destinations or to other destinations. It's just everything seems to be a little bit more subdued than it normally would be.
Okay.
You know, probably with the exception of the US. The US seems to be going really well.
Right. And just if you can clarify, Andrew, you mentioned before that store growth in the half is around 6%. I think you're saying store growth 6%.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
Does that imply, maybe I'm missing something, does that imply that TTV per store is down 8%? Is that...
Look,
obviously on an effective store basis, so it's probably less, but that's a pretty big number.
Yeah, look, again, I haven't looked at that number specifically, so I don't know if that number's exactly right or wrong, but yeah, you know, simple maths would tell you that we've got more people, more shops, and TTV's only marginally up, so you would expect that. But... yeah, that's what we're saying. We're saying TTV is subdued to what we've experienced over the last few years.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's all for me.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Nick McCarrigal from Ords. Go ahead, please.
Hi, guys. Maybe a question for Skroo. Given the business has been around for quite a long time, just wondering if there's ever been a period where you've seen consumer sentiment and, you know, that propensity to travel remain this sort of subdued for this long? And can you point to any scenarios in the past where you've seen it be like this?
Yeah, look, it is a cyclical thing. You know, we've been used to the last 5 or 6 years, you know, 6 or 7% growth in outbounds. So this sort of thing's not unusual. It's just come at a time when, you know, our costs have increased a bit, and consequently with a subdued, sales, at the same time as our costs have gone up a bit, it's just, we're just not getting the growth in Australia that we would normally expect. I'm pretty confident with corporate. You know, we might only be up a couple of percent so far this year, but we've got a lot of wins under our belt, so we're pretty confident the next six corporate will go up. We just feel that leisure is going to be subdued for a bit longer, but this is not unusual, and it's a combination. It's not, you know, you've got to remember in Australia, in leisure we have something like 30% market share, so any slight change in consumer sentiment on leisure, you know, we probably feel it more than we probably did 20 years ago. So I'm certainly not concerned with this, but it's always working out things that we can do to make sure we can win more market share. So that's what we're working on now.
Okay. Maybe one for Flano around the third quarter, fourth quarter split. From memory, the third quarter in FY14 was quite strong.
Was
there anything particularly driving that, and will that make it a tough thing to cycle? And is there a significant split between third quarter, fourth quarter? I understand fourth quarter is a bit strong in terms of weighting.
Yeah, look, generally it differs kind of geography to geography, but generally speaking, profit split for the group is around 45-55, first half, second half. And then generally speaking, the third quarter and the fourth quarter, yeah, they're probably evenly split, maybe a little bit more towards the third quarter from time to time. Last year's third quarter was just very strong. I think from memory, the first three quarters are up somewhere between 10-15%, and then the fourth quarter was only up 1%. Unfortunately, it was just that that sudden change in consumer sentiment that flowed through into that fourth quarter. So nothing unusual about last year. Yeah, it's going to be tough to comp, but I guess that's what we're flagging.
Right. So, I mean, given the momentum in the business at the moment, it could be quite a difficult first quarter into calendar 15, and a lot of the growth in the second half you're expecting is on that cycling that soft comp in the fourth quarter, right? And is that sort of, would you think a flat result in the third quarter and some growth in the fourth quarter would be around the upper end or the middle end of that guidance range, do you think?
I'm not sure. So can you just repeat that last part of the question?
So say you were fairly flat in the third quarter, given it was a pretty tough comp.
Yeah.
Is the predominance of the growth that is at the upper end of the guidance range now predicated on predicated on that fourth quarter being really strong? I mean, if the third quarter doesn't grow at all, and you're looking at 9% growth in the second half, all from one quarter, that implies quite a big turnaround at that 3-9.
Obviously we're expecting to see some improvement in the third quarter, but you're right, the fourth quarter will be very key for us, and we've got a pretty large range in there, and that unfortunately reflects the difficulty we have in actually establishing where we think we'll finish the year. So we've given you our best range at this point in time.
Yeah, Nick, just one of the other things I guess for us is because of the nature of the product we sell, it is a discretionary product obviously, but people take 4 weeks holiday a year. Hopefully at some point over the next few months they start to get sick of sitting on their hands a little bit and are happy to dig into the wallet and take off for a holiday. So I think we are expecting that at some point this year people will start to travel in a more normal way than what we've seen so far. So, hopefully we can start to benefit from that a little bit in the third quarter and into the fourth.
Great. All right. Thanks for that.
Guys, just before we take the next question from Mark, I noticed there's a couple of journalists on the call. Screw's had to go to his next meeting. So, Matt and Stephen, if you want to give me a call after this meeting, it's Hayden speaking, I'll hook you up with Screw directly if you were particularly after Screw. Otherwise, stay on the call and we'll get to your questions in due course.
Perfect. Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Mark Bryan from Merrill Lynch. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks, Hayden. Thanks, Andrew. Obviously, you've answered a lot of questions already. Just around this network store growth, just trying to think about that, really. We've had now, obviously, a couple of quarters of weakness. The commentary from the government the last few weeks, we've done nothing but obviously increased concerns amongst consumer. And if you look at most economists, I think, are now expecting for the next couple of years pretty low growth in household disposable income. At what point do you actually sort of turn the tap off on store growth? What would it take to do that? And with that, could you talk, Andrew, about the attrition rate that you get in the network? Because natural attrition alone would obviously give you some cost saves.
Oh, sorry. So, Mark, just on the last part of your question, when you say natural attrition, are you saying when people leave the organisation, would we replace them?
Correct. I mean, you're still, I suppose what I'm finding a bit challenging to understand is we're in an environment now, it feels like, where top line is going to be really tough to get. It's competitive, and you've talked obviously about price discounting from competitors, so it feels a pretty tough place to be, but yet the network, you're still growing the network, and if you turn that tap off, then I'm wondering how quickly you can start to get cost out.
Yeah, Mark, good question, but I think, as Flano mentioned earlier in the call, we see it as being cyclical rather than structural. So at the moment, we're getting good inquiry, but the problem is convincing people to take advantage of the offers that we're seeing. So if we weren't getting good inquiry and we were finding the shops weren't particularly busy places, then you're probably more likely to look at that kind of thing. Even during the GFC, those peak sort of, peak's probably the wrong word, but those very negative months during the GFC, we didn't close shops. We stopped growing the network at that point. But at that time, we were seeing TTV down, probably low double digit in some months, maybe 10%, 11%. We're not seeing that this time, and we're seeing, still good inquiry numbers. So people are interested in travelling. If you were to take people out of the business, you're not ready to capitalise then when things do pick up. And we've certainly seen over the years that by being ready when demand comes back, you can really capitalise and take some market share. We saw that after SARS in 2003-04, I think it was, where we had a downturn in international and domestic travel. And then as concerns abated, demand really picked up and we were ready to go. It's important that you are ready. If you close shops, don't replace people, then the people that you have in those shops and when the demand comes back are not ready to go, haven't been trained, aren't experienced, and you have a productivity impact then as well. So, no, we wouldn't look to do that. But obviously, in future years, you might not grow at such a rapid rate if you didn't feel that, you were getting a return on the money you're spending on that. So if we weren't getting good inquiry, the shops were able to handle the inquiry we're getting, very easily, then you might not grow it and you might not need as many people. But we're nowhere near seeing anything like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a reminder, if you do have a question, it's star one. If you wish to cancel your question request, you just need to press the hash or pound key. Your next question is on the line of Mike Younger from Goldman Sachs. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thanks very much. First question, guys, just to get a sense of, I guess we were talking earlier about a potential switch from international to domestic travel within the Aussie business. Screw mentioned that domestic booking volumes were up 8%. So if your Oz TTV is up 2 and you've seen generally a mild increase in yield, does that imply you've had virtually, say, zero booking volume growth with domestic being up 8 and therefore international being down?
Yeah, no, mate, I don't think his comment related to booking numbers. He was actually sitting next to me at the time and I asked him what he meant by the 8%, so I'll have to come back to you on that one. But just bear in mind, we have seen an uptick in domestic yields, as you noted, I think, Ben, in your question. That doesn't necessarily benefit us across the business because parts of the corporate business are obviously on a service fee model. Part of the uptick in domestic will be naturally corporate travel, but that'll only be part of it. Domestically, look, I don't think we've had a massive uptick in leisure by any stretch, so I'll have to clarify with Screw what he was talking about with his 8% comment.
Right, okay. Well, would it be fair to say that, I mean, on the market share side, if outbound travel numbers are up circa 4%, 5%, you might be tracking a bit behind where the market is?
I don't think you'll find that outbound's up 4 or 5%. It obviously was July, August, and September was flat. And, you know as well, and you know we're a lead indicator of that kind of stuff. So I think you'll see outbound being fairly subdued. In terms of those ABS outbound stats that are released monthly, you'll see some fairly average results over the next few months because obviously the travel agents are a lead indicator and the travel agents have seen a slowdown since April, May. So that will flow through for the next few months. I think December, January might be a little bit unusual because of Christmas and everyone booking those early. But I think October, November will be fairly subdued outbound stats and I don't think you'll be at 4 to 5%.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. The next question is just around rebates, overrides. Has there been much of an impact there? Or as you say, if this is all consultant discounting, then has there been no real impact on the overrides?
Yes, no real impact on the overrides.
Okay. You mentioned earlier, Flano, that you're looking at ways to encourage consultants to convert bookings without discounting. What are the other kind of measures that you could point them towards?
Baseball bats, mate.
No, look, just raising service quality is actually returning calls when people need their phone calls returned. Recognising that their knowledge of the destination that they're going to is actually value in itself. And, you've got to remember about 40% of our network is novice consultants. And a novice consultant is somewhere less than 12 months of experience. So when times are tough, then the older consultants know how to explain the value to their customers. When you're a young person and it's not so obvious to you and people are walking out the door and not converting like they otherwise would, you go for the easy win, which is obviously around the price. So, it's just basically helping those guys understand what more they can be doing to add value to the conversation rather than just going for the straight discount.
Righto, so baseball bats not far off the mark then.
I can see your headline for your note now.
Mate, don't book your holiday for a couple of weeks.
Just a couple more. One is just on international airline capacity and we've seen a couple of airlines around the edges reducing the number of services in and out of Australia. Yeah. What sort of trend are you seeing there?
As you noted, a couple of sort of minor adjustments there on the negative side, but there's also some positives. You know, airlines like Hawaiian are expanding into Brisbane and I think all Sydney. You've got, you know, airlines flying A380s into Australia that weren't previously doing it. So it's probably fairly neutral.
Okay. And the last one for me, just on, the change in guidance. Do we assume that if there's broadly been no change in your expectation of international business earnings, but FX has come back a bit, that your expectation is that the international assets perhaps perform a little bit better than you'd originally thought in EBIT terms with the rest of the discrepancy being Australia?
Yeah, for the first six months you mean, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I think we flagged it before. We've been really very pleased with how the US has started the year, and that's entirely been driven by the corporate business. That has been a pleasant surprise.
Okay, thanks very much, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes on the line of Frank Heatherton from Kevin Reset. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you. Is it possible to get some indication as to what the next dividend will be, up or down, or about the same?
Well, yeah, obviously that's a question for the board at the time when that dividend's declared, but normally we pay 50 to 60% of net profit after tax. You know, the board will make that decision when they sit down, and obviously they'll look at, you know, the business's needs as well when they make that call. So I couldn't really tell you at this stage.
You can't tell from trading operations as to whether it's justified to maintain the dividend?
The board will make that decision, though, in 3 months' time, pretty much, February.
I think what's pretty clear is that we've had a long-term commitment to the range that we'll pay, which is that 50 to 60% of after-tax profits. Unfortunately, if earnings are down, then you'd expect the dividend to be down, but still within that payout range. So I don't know if that helps answer the question anymore, but certainly expect the same percentage, but unfortunately the base by which that percentage is being applied will be lower.
By how much?
It's a question for the board. We can't tell you. We're not on the board.
Okay, righto. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Craig Stifford from UBS. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, guys. Just a quick question about market share for Australia, both for your corporate business and leisure business. So those, could you sort of give us some comments around that? Are your market shares improving year on year or over the last few years or staying steady?
Yeah, I'll take corporate. That's Hayden, and Flano will probably take leisure. On the corporate side, our TTV from our corporate brands alone is just over $2 billion. We also do a fair bit of corporate through our leisure businesses, particularly a business called Flight Centre Business Travel, which kind of straddles leisure and corporate. If you look at the total market, you know, it's probably the total corporate market in Australia is probably around $7 to $7.5 billion, which would obviously give us a market share of, you know, in excess of 25%. We probably have always felt that our market share is probably closer to 20 rather than 25. It is difficult to work out exactly what the corporate market is, because if a customer walks into a Flight Centre shop and makes a booking, you don't necessarily know whether that's a leisure booking or a corporate booking. But look, our market share, we think, is probably, I guess it's probably 25 would be a good guess. And in Australia in recent years, the market's been fairly flat. Ourselves and CTM have seemed to be able to win more than the others. And our TTV has generally been up a little bit, probably higher than the market. So I think we've probably won a bit of share. CTM's probably won a bit of share, and some of the others have lost.
In relation to leisure, certainly over the last couple of years, we have been winning market share. Look, we have somewhere between 11 to 14% of the total market, if you include all spend in all categories such as car hire, hotels, airfares, direct-to-supplier, online, offline. So that's probably increased a little bit over the last couple of years. In recent months, it's remained reasonably steady. It might have dropped back a little bit. But generally speaking, it has grown over the last couple of years. If you look at the travel agent market in itself, we have around 30% of the market, and that peaks at 35% depending on the time of the year.
Right, and the share that you've been winning, is that off other agents, or are you clawing back from other channels?
Look, it's interesting actually. Over the last couple of years, it has been over other agents, but then from time to time, we might, interestingly enough, see some move from accommodation direct to us or away from the airfares direct to us. But then from time to time, we might see leave us and go direct to some of those sources. So that's a little bit fickle. But the actual mix of channels over the last 3 years has hardly changed at all.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Daniel Wan from Deutsche Bank. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I think most of the questions have been asked, but I thought I would just try and look at the flip side of consumer sentiment. Just looking at the Westpac consumer sentiment measure for December, it's dropped another 6%. So then thinking about sort of where your guidance is, how much further would that need to go in order for the bottom end of that guidance to be breached?
Look, that's the number that we look at very closely as well. So, you know, we have obviously factored that into our thinking. It's a very hard answer it's a very hard question to answer. That's an indicator of intent, but it doesn't necessarily transact to reality.
Yeah, Daniel, consumer sentiment is obviously important to us, but you know, even in a poor consumer climate, people do still take holidays. You know, mostly people won't take their 4 weeks. People are under pressure, obviously, to take 4 weeks leave a year and go somewhere, and they don't tend to sit at home. So at some point, they probably will take off, even in a tough climate. You know, going back to the GFC, we had, obviously, a lot of job uncertainty for a couple of months there in particular, probably from November through till about February. And in that low consumer confidence climate, we did get some good demand arising, and it was driven by low airfares. So at that time, you had Virgin started flying from Australia to LA and had $1,000 fares, and then Delta came in a couple of months later with $800 fares. And in that low consumer environment, people were falling over themselves to book those fares because they were so cheap. So, you know, you do still, even if consumer confidence was to fall, people will still take a holiday somewhere. They'll probably just spend a bit less than they normally do. So they might, you know, perhaps at some point shift from a long-haul destination to a shorter-haul package destination.
Okay, then I suppose when you say in the announcement you say you expect a strong demand as the financial year progresses, that consumer sentiment isn't the key driver of that then, going off what you said?
No, we expect that there will be an uptick in demand because there's a lot of cheap fares in the market, and largely because people still do have holiday time to take this year. And, you know, those cheap fares can be a pretty powerful attraction to people. So, you know, if you were to see, say if you're thinking about a holiday after a couple of months of not having one and you see Fiji for $400 or something like that, you know, that can be a pretty powerful temptation, or London for $1,100 or LA for $900. You know, so the cheap fares are an important driver when confidence is low.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We've got no further questions at this time, so I'll hand back to Mr. Long for closing remarks.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us. If you need anything else, give me a call. I'll be around most of the day and also tomorrow. And have a good Christmas and a happy new year. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your attendance. You may all now disconnect.